Well, a lot of the songs this evening, most of them, in fact, spoke about heaven. And we're not going to be speaking directly about heaven, but we're going to be speaking about what comes before that, just immediately before that. We want to talk about the second coming of Christ. And as I went through this and kind of looked at the scriptures about this, it was a little difficult to talk about the second coming without talking about our resurrection, and also the fact that he's going to come suddenly and surely, and so we'll go through some of these scriptures. You're going to be familiar with, I'm sure, most of them anyway. You know, there's no shortage of ideas about what's going to happen at the second coming. We've had in past years, I haven't heard too much about it recently, but in past years, people made predictions. He's coming such and such a date, and a big deal was made of that they knew, and then it didn't happen. So they said, well, our calculations were a little off, so we're going to try again for another date. And those dates all came and gone, as we know, and nothing happened. So no one knows for sure except who? God only. Scriptures, a couple of them, Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And also in Mark 13:32, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. And that's really interesting, isn't it, when you stop and think about that, that the Son of God does not know when he's coming either. I guess God's going to tell him when he's ready, and then it will be, he will come. So only the Father knows. We do know that it is sure that he's coming. There are a lot of scriptures that talk about that he is coming, and there's no doubt about it. Matthew 24:37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. So it's a sure thing. We don't know when, but we do know that he will be coming again. So that is a certainty. We also know that no one knows except the Father, and when he comes, it's going to be sudden for us because we don't know. So when he does come, it will be a sudden thing that when Christ comes. There's several scriptures on that we can look at that talk. And any time you have a comment on any of this, this is class. So if you have a comment, Chris has the microphone. Just raise your hand and join in. We'd appreciate it if you would do that. It's more interesting than listen to me for a half an hour. So please join in if you have comments on any of this anytime. 1 Thessalonians 5 speaks of this, the first four verses there. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. So it will be a sudden event for us, because we don't know when. And so when this does happen, and there's going to be things that we can look at here, what's going to happen when the Lord does come again, and it's something that is difficult for us, to at least for me, to understand how all these events are going to come together in a moment. But God can do it. But there's going to be a lot of things going on here when he comes again. Not only the our resurrection from the dead, but there's going to be judgment when he comes again also. We'll look at some of those scriptures also. So he will be coming again. And it will be as a thief in the night. We don't know, you know, generally a thief doesn't give us warning on when he's coming, so that we double bolt the doors and lock the windows and things. He just comes in the middle of the night or whenever, and it's a sudden thing for us. We don't know. It's going to be the same way when Christ comes. It will be a sudden event for us. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. We're familiar with that passage. You also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So it's, again, there is it's a sure thing that he's coming again, and it will be something that we don't know when. We do know that he is, and we know how he's coming. It says he will come again as in the same manner that you saw him going up, as he was raised up into heaven, into the clouds. He's going to come back the same way. There are other passages that talk about how he's coming also. 1 Corinthians 15:23. "But each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming." So this is getting into the resurrection. And we look at passages that talk about our resurrection when he comes. And it's something, again, that is sure. It talks about it's going to happen. And it's going to happen like Christ was raised from the dead. We also then have that promise that we will be those that are alive when he comes and are Christ, he says here in this passage, for those who are Christ. Christ is the first fruit, those that raise from the dead. And then we, afterwards, those who are Christ at his coming again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?" What, Paul says, is that? "Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" So the joy and hope and crown of rejoicing for the Apostle Paul was going to be when he sees the fruits of his labor standing in the presence of the Lord. That's going to be Paul's hope, joy, and crown. And that's something that, you know, we can think about. If we are Christ, we're going to be standing in his presence. We're going to be standing in the presence of God and in heaven, which something to think about and really gives us hope, gives us a desire to be ready when he comes. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, "So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." All of his saints that have gone on before, if I read this passage right, are going to be with Jesus when he comes again, if I understand it correctly. You want to be in that group? I do. Yeah. Yes. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." So As I mentioned before, there's going to be a lot of things going on when Christ comes again. A shout. It'd be a shout that's heard around the world, won't it? Everybody, no matter where they are in the world, they're going to hear that shout. Voice of an archangel. I don't know what the archangel's going to say, but he's going to have some voice when Jesus comes again after the shout. And with the trumpet of God, can you picture that? What kind of trumpet would that be? It'd be a trumpet of God. And then dead in Christ will rise first then. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we will always be with the Lord. So that pretty much covers those that think that Jesus is coming back to earth, doesn't it? Not coming back to earth. We're going to meet him in the air. Yeah, Jack?
In studying with the Jehovah Witness, they looked at this on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. They point to that verse to try to claim that Jesus is Michael the archangel, coming from the letter of Jude, where Michael is prominent there. And I've argued that if you look at that sentence, it is with. And if one were to claim that Jesus is the voice of the archangel, you would have to also claim that Jesus is the trumpet of God. I mean, silly argument, but if you're going to misapply it, then you have to misapply it consistently.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Chris?
You brought up, what would the archangel sound like? I'm thinking it's more like just saying it's going to be a voice that has authority in it. It'll ring. It'll be a voice that's like, you know, to pay attention to it because it's a voice that, well, it's, no other way to put it, just a voice that just exudes authority, a voice you would want to listen to and pay attention to.
Yeah, I think it'll be something that you want to hear. Archangels were used for specific purposes when they came. Ed?
So as far as I know, people that teach the rapture, it's only verse 17 where it says caught up. And I think that word means raptured, caught up. And so they base a whole theology on that. Another thing that these rapture and things like that are relatively new ideas. I think a lot of them, maybe even the 18th century, which is a long time from the apostles and so forth. The apostles don't teach it. I mean, you have to stretch verses.
Yeah.
Like Jack just, that's a good example.
Yeah.
But, I've talked to people, and I even have some distant relatives that believe in the rapture, and when we talk about some of their children are not in the church, and they say, well, they'll just have to go through the tribulation.
Yeah.
And be converted then. Well,
yeah.
It's when that shout is heard and the trump and we see Jesus in the clouds, that's when it's over.
Yeah,
that's when eternity begins for the sheep and the goats. And I don't see 1,000 years between the rat being caught up, it's just not there.
Yeah, it sure doesn't mention Jesus coming back to earth. That's for sure. And that's the way false teaching begins. They either stretch the scriptures, or they just disregard them altogether. It usually works that way anyway. It's a popular belief. A second chance is a popular thing for people to believe. Well, you know, there'll be a second chance if I'm not. Excuse me?
It's comforting.
Yeah, Chris.
I was going to say, on what you just said, of how it's this, the thought of the second chance, I just can't understand why anyone would try and spread that around, because to me, it is an insidious, almost disease, spiritual disease, because you're giving people false hope. You're lying to them. And I can't understand why but unfortunately, that's why we see so many people who say, well, surely I'm good enough for heaven. It's just everyone is so convinced they have one chance. Some even say it doesn't matter what you do here. It's when Jesus comes again. That's when you get the chance. It's like, yeah. No, yeah. This is it. This is our only time, and we have to take it seriously.
We do. Thank you very much. Yeah.
You know, if we read from Scripture, these are the doctrines of demons. They are brought to man by lying and deceiving spirits and delusions. You know, I think the powers of darkness are very pervasive. And it's like the guy that doesn't fill himself with righteousness after the demons come back. Now, I'm not saying there's demon possession, but they certainly, in the book of Revelation, it certainly sounds like spirits deceive the false prophet, for sure. And a lot of these, Jehovah's Witness, they're relatively new ideas, new religions.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't been doctrines from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, Mormonism, the Jehovah's Witness, these are all new things.
Yeah.
Islam.
Yeah.
600 years after Jesus left.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the answer is very plain. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment.
Yeah.
When you talk about the concept of the second chance, verse 28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. If the Hebrew writer that wrote that under inspiration, when Jesus comes back again, there is nothing else to do with sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there is no second chance.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Satan will take whatever false teaching he can get. He's not too particular about it. If he gets a false teaching, he'll take it and whatever. Yeah, Barbara.
We're also told in the epistles not to follow after any other doctrine other than what the apostles taught.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Okay, let's go on here with a few other scriptures, and then some of that may have something to say about those too. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And then some passages over in 1 Corinthians 15, which about all of that chapter is about either the resurrection or the coming of the gospel. I'd like to read a few verses there, beginning in verse 16 of chapter 15. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Jesus have perished. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be all changed. So there again it's speaking about Christ's resurrection and the promise then that we will be resurrected in the same way. We have that hope, we have that example, and we have the scripture that says in the same way that Christ was raised from the dead, he was the first fruits of those who have been raised from the dead, and in the same way we also will be resurrected that day. 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Taken from Isaiah 25th chapter, verse 8. You have any comments on any of those? I know we could talk for an hour on that, what's written in the 15th chapter. But anything you want to say about any of that?
You know, those are very powerful things that God is performing. And, you know, we can, you know, I can't even imagine a life without temptation or sin, you know, being around it and in it. And, you know, that's why God is not taking good people. He's taking righteous people who don't have their own righteousness. They have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we will never sin. We will never be tempted. And all the other things that we can only imagine and hope for, there'll be more than that. But those are powerful things. And it doesn't it really transcend what we do and go through here? You know, like Paul kind of made that when, you know, it's more rewarding than anything we could ever have here. And he gives his people power to resist while they're here. So we can make it. You know, we can be there if our faith is in Jesus Christ. And as we learn to do better, we do better. And we don't, and when we do it wrong, we acknowledge it, take responsibility for it, and ask forgiveness for it. And you know, and it will be granted. You know, sometimes I wonder, how many times can I go to that well of forgiveness? And it's as many times as you do.
Unlimited.
Unlimited. So, powerful and remarkable things.
Yeah. John talks a lot about that in 1 John, about sin and forgiveness. And, very good. I'd like to read a few passages now about the judgment that's going to happen at that time. I said before there's going to be a lot of things happening here, and it's going to happen in an instant. All of these things, when Jesus comes again, and like I said, it's hard to imagine all of those things coming together that fast, but I know God can do it. But it is still remarkable in my mind anyway. Look at some passages that talk about the judgment. Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Acts 17:30. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Verse 31, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising them from the dead. The key word in that passage is righteous judgment. He's going to judge righteously. You know, sometimes we think, well, what about this person and what about this and what about that in the day of judgment? We know it's going to be righteous judgment. God and Christ are going to give righteous judgment, so we trust in that, and that it will be righteous and not anything else. Yeah, Chris?
Something that had been occurring to me is, as you say, it's with what you just said, when we ask, well, what about these other people around me? And it's most likely going to be people we know. Well, what about my family? What about my friends? What's going to happen to them? And that is the both frightening and glorious thing about what we've been called to, is Jesus said we must follow after him, even if it means leaving behind everyone we know. And that is sort of the bitter pill with this, is those people, it's up to them. All we can do is live righteously, like you say. Try and live by the example of the apostles' doctrine, Jesus, and pray we can help lead them in that same way that they may live righteously and hopefully be judged righteous in God's eyes.
Yeah. Very good. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that pretty well says it, doesn't it? Those that do not know God, and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fire is the punishment that will be dealt out. Flaming fire, quickly, instantly. This is all going to come to pass again. Colossians 3 and 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Again, all of these things are just going to be in the twinkling of an eye, of our time anyway. Paul talks about his days and what's laid up for him. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, again, the righteous judge will give to me on that day, and not only to me also, but all who have loved his appearing. Passage in Hebrews, Brother Jack mentioned that it is appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's going to be done quickly. Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Revelation 20:12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up their dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we want to make sure our name's in the book of life, don't we? Final passages here. I'm about to run out of time, but I'd like to read these. Revelation 21, beginning in verse 1. I'll read down through 4 or 5 verses here. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, Also, there was no more sea. We know from the writings of Peter that all of this is going to be burned up, everything that we know. The first heaven and the first earth. First heaven, I think, would be the heavens that as we know them, not heaven where God is, but the heavens as we know them. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." The dwelling place of God, the tabernacle, is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. God himself is going to be with them and be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The beginning and the end I will give through the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So we read these passages, and Zed says, we can be there. We can. We do the best we can and live according to the scriptures. Repent when we sin. Thank God for his forgiveness. Your final thoughts here. Anybody, we'll take a little extra time if you got something you want to say. Okay, thank you very much for your comments. There's a lot more scriptures we could look at on this subject, as you know. We could talking about the second coming and the judgment and resurrection and all of those things. It's could be a long study, but it's an interesting study for me anyway, and something gives us a lot of hope, I think. Anything else tonight? All right, let's be dismissed then. Kind and gracious Father, we thank you for this time that we could be together and to study your word. And please help us to understand it and to have hope and a desire to be with you, to be there when the shout is made and the trumpet's played and we hear all the things that are going on, the judgment and our resurrection if we are not alive when he comes. Help us to understand and be able to apply all of these things to our lives so that we will serve you to the very best of our ability and always, Father, according to your will and your words that you have given to us. Bless us, Father, as we are departing this night. Be with each one the rest of the week and keep us all safe from harm and those that might be traveling and those that we've mentioned before in the way of sickness and other things that would be going on in their lives. Give them comfort, hope, and strength each day. Forgive us of our wrongs and always keep us near to you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.